Monty, do you think he was working through sports, or do you think he was actually, well, we don't
know. Nothing that Baba did was just casual. Apart from that one big whim, none of the other things were whimsical. I mean, to us it may seem at the time, because he took pains to make it appear very natural and nothing out of the way. But he would give himself away sometimes. Like once when he said, nothing that I do is without effect. Even a most casual act or movement, anything that I do, because I'm universal, its effect has to be universal. When we would go to the zoo, he would take us to the zoo. He would give us a lot of these innocent recreations, even in a very cloistered life, like those very cloistered years up in Mehrabad on the hill. Baba would play badminton with us and these games, and we would sit around him. In the afternoons, we would be seated around him behind the kitchen, where the shadow of the kitchen wall made a good shade. And just the five of us, four or five of us, would be around him. And there was no wall up on the hill around our room. There used to be a barbed wire. And we could see the horizon without limit. It seemed as if you could see the whole world. That was our world, that there was nothing beyond it. That this is the Baba and us in this world of ours. And so Baba would sit there and say, make the most of this time with me. When we would sit quietly around him, sometimes we'd press his legs, as you have seen Baba press the legs of a mast in a very recent film, you know, on the ankles, chin, one on the other. Anyway, we would be seated and absolute silence. Nobody to be seen, nothing to be heard. And we would hear the cooing of a dove now and then. That's why I love the cooing of a dove, because it always takes me back to those early days in Mehrabad. And then, or we would hear a bumblebee, just around. And absolute stillness. There was a stillness that cannot even be measured in absence of sound. It was more than that. And so Baba would say, make the most of this. It won't always be like that. You know, the time will come when it will all be covered, when this hill will be covered with people. And it was so fantastic to imagine people around there, because there was nobody. Nobody was allowed in. We were not allowed out. It was like the like a monastery. And suddenly, to even being imaginative, I couldn't imagine this place being covered by flowers, as we see today. But at that time, it was beyond imagination, because even our, the place wasn't like the what you see now. Even from Mehrabad to Ahmednagar, it wasn't like that. It was just away from the world, a world of Baba and us. So he said, make the most of it. And then he did this, which means Westerners in a hat. Couldn't imagine. None of them had come yet, you see, not to America. So anyway, as I said, later on, now I see it happen. The day we were there, after Baba dropped his body, and I was up there, and somehow, I don't know where I could have seen it from, but I have a distinct memory of seeing, of a vision of, you know, Baba Lovers coming up the hill, not only just from the path as we go up now, but from every side of the hill, as you see ants go up on a suite that you leave on the table sometimes uncovered, you know? My memory went back when I was 15, and not 15, as I was when Baba drafted by. And I look back and I say, ah, that's what he This is very familiar. And as his Baba had told us years and years ago when we were first in there. And it has come to pass. It is happening. And therefore, all that Baba has said will come to pass, must come to pass. But it may not be according to what we have expected. But it must. Just because it doesn't happen now doesn't mean it won't happen. And this is an example. When I was 15, I heard Baba say that. When I was 50, I saw this. So it's only a matter of time. Therefore, when Baba has said the whole world will come to love me, it's going to be. We won't be around, but it's going to be. I'll tell you when Baba said that. Because Baba wouldn't declare it or make it a dramatic thing, as might sometimes appear when somebody quotes or relates. Remember, there's always in context. Either someone has asked, and this is in response to that, or something has happened, and Baba's saying that. It was never somebody said, oh, Baba said this, makes you think that they feel Baba stood up and said, you know, this will happen. That was not Baba's thing. That was the most casual, gentle way. But it would ring with that reality that you can't miss. So, what happened was that, it's a matter about, we weren't there for years. We have been in many places with Baba for years and years. In Nasik, we spent years. That's where I first joined Baba. We've been in Satara, even before the accident, for over 3.5 years. We've been in many places with Baba, Toka and all that. Also Meribah. But you know, that's the former period, is it? So, then Merazah, when Baba established his headquarters and home in Merazah, where actually physically he has been most in Merazah than any other place on earth. So, what would happen then is, we began using Merabad, our room, as a sort of a Baba storeroom. Some of our things that were there, trunks of Baba's Western clothes which he wore on his tours and visits, trips to the West, well, you know, very carefully folded with naphthalene balls in it and all, stored there in Merab. It still is there to this day because it has always been there. And boxes with things that Baba would give us to keep, because the musts had given him some of the items and things in it. So, the moment that something like that would happen, it goes to Merabad. Next time we go to Merabad, we take it to Merabad, and we would go and keep it there. So, everything like... So, Baba's sadras, you know, when they would get very old and torn, Baba wanted to keep on having them, even when, you know, because then, even when they were too worn to be able to wear, and Merab have a new one as soft as possible for a child. Baba said, no, where's my old one? So nice and soft. But anyway, when it was, he had to give up his old friends, his old sadras, then they would be back and taken to Merabah. And every now and then it was happening. So one day Mera asked, Baba, do we have to take your sadras every time and put it in Merabah? I mean, do you still want us to do that? You want your sadras there? Keep it, said Baba. The time to come, this is future. The whole world will come to me. They will be hungry, they will be eager for tiny bit of myself, pieces, tiny bits. I still remember Baba's gestures, is as if an old sadra which would just have be little bits, or we make little bits of it. And so that also has to come to pass. According to what happened when a few things Baba said, so the rest of the things must come. It's already set in motion. And that when the time comes, it will be revealed to us. Then I thought, oh, if that is to be. I mean, I thought after Baba dropped his body, when the outer thing, because it was connected with Baba, assumed at least an importance for the future Baba people. I don't know. So, I said, now, if the whole world is going to come to Baba, then there may be a whole country who may not have a single sadra, a robe of Baba, or things. So then, we have been holding back a bit and say it can go round and circulate, maybe it must get. Now, you see, had we ever given more importance to outer things, or had we been at all prepared, we would have made Baba wear and touch a lot of things. We have very few sandals and footwear of Baba's, because at the time, if somebody liked it and wanted it, well, you know, we have Baba. They can have a sandal. We thought that was for all time. You know, for us, there was no need, there was no room for anything except Baba's presence. And I mean physical presence. The perfection, the purity of his physical presence completely filled our lives. And so we were very generous, very generous. Now we say, oh, I wish we had more sandals. Now why didn't, not enough kerchiefs. When Baba would be seated here in the chair, and there was kerchiefs were placed on the little table here in case Baba wanted to use it. Baba would often give it away, and so fine. And they would be washed again, those that were left and put by. Had we known that, well, that how precious a gift it would become after Baba dropped his body for us to give to his loved ones, we would have put stacks every day, you know, a new stack. But it didn't, so we have very few kerchiefs at all, very, very few sandals and footwear of Baba's, but at least the sadras and things we keep, because there may be whole country, China, Russia, who knows? Not only who knows, only who knows the time, but it must be, it will be, whether at the time, this will happen, I don't know, but what he has said must be. I'll also tell you something once when, you know, our intimacy of life with Baba, like it was family, you know, he was the head of the household. But Baba appeared to his lovers on occasions was different from what Baba was to us every day, you know. He could make a face, he could say, oh, you know, my, you're giving me a headache, if we ask a question, ask tomorrow, I got a headache. All the sweetness and everything was there, but and on these moments he could be with family, which was not the same as when he gave darshans and allowed his lovers to come, you know, that is to be different. So we have seen Baba when his lovers would come, when he would allow them to come, and Baba would be glowingly promising if there's something to somebody. And at least I did, and I'm sure Richard, he was there when he said, we're in for something now. Baba's promising her that, you know, all right, I'll do this, I'll do that, and you'll come. And of course, you know, it's not going to be, most probably, because then next time he'd say, well, you know, there was like the breaking of his silence, like anything. So to us, it has so seemed at times that Baba has given a promise and it hasn't happened, you know, not in the way we, just as I thought that, and I was smiling inside of me, you know, there's my brother, you know, smiling inside of me, and Baba turns around. This startled me by saying, I am the only one who never breaks a promise. I was so taken aback. That was just a thought with myself, a little private thing, a little fun thing, where endearing, it was a very endearing fact. I thought, oh, Baba says that now in the mood, but then even now. And right then Baba turns around and said, I am the only one who never breaks a promise. And I've never forgotten that. So then I look up at the promises. Who knows, I might still get a tricycle. They have to be a very big one.